And we'll read beginning with verse 38. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. Behold, a greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. In the book of Deuteronomy, we read that in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. God has not left himself without a witness. And in this passage, our Lord Jesus Christ calls three to bear witness to those of his generation. First of all, there was a witness of his resurrection power. Jonah, 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of this great fish, was brought forth from a watery grave to live again. A sign of his resurrection power. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. So our Lord Jesus gives to them and to us a sign of his redeeming love. Judgment had been passed upon Nineveh. Jonah had been sent with a message, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. But when they repented, God forgave them their sin and spared that city. A sign of his redeeming love. And then the Lord Jesus spoke of the queen of the south. He said, she shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Behold, a greater than Solomon is here. A sign of his revealing wisdom. A sign of his power. A sign of his love. And a sign of his wisdom. A threefold cord, the Bible said, is not easily broken. 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of this fish's belly. This disobedient prophet, this one who was rejected and thrown overboard by those sailors, is a beautiful picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, because he was thrown overboard. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. And he was nailed to a criminal's cross. The Jonah is a symbol of the life and death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. For that's the gospel message. It's a message of divine power, the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. That Lord Jesus Christ, 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth, he was brought forth in resurrection power. When the apostle defines for us what the gospel is, in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, the gospel is this. Christ died for our sin. He was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. As Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of that fish, so shall also the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. What the Lord Jesus first of all tells them is the good news of the power of the gospel. The hour is coming, said our Savior when he was here on earth, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. It takes divine power to save any soul, to bring a man out of death into life. Ah, said the apostle when he writes to the Ephesians, ye were dead in trespasses and sins. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, hath made us alive together with Christ. Every individual has trusted Christ as Savior, hath by divine power made that trip from death unto life. Verily, verily, said our Savior, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life. The sign of his power. We read in the book of Jonah how that Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth, and then it says, he cried unto the Lord. He realized the hopelessness of his situation, and the only way that he could be brought to life was by divine power. And it's that way still. But praise God, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is God's power unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Nineveh, that city to which Jonah was sent with the divine message, was a huge city. It took 3 days to walk across that city. And the book of Jonah tells us that there were 120,000 people living in that city that didn't even know their left hand from the right. Infants that didn't know one hand from the other. Probably a couple of million people living in that day in that city. That city was larger than the city of Babylon, situated in the Tigris River. A tremendous city. And the Assyrians were known for their violence and for their wickedness. They were the scourge and the threat of Israel and all of the nations in that world. They knew nothing of showing mercy to others. And to this merciless people, Jonah was sent against his will. Nothing more would have pleased him than for God to wipe them off the face of the earth. But God sent this missionary with a message. Message of impending judgment. Go, he says, and preach to that city what I shall bid thee to preach. So they went with the message. He went. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. 40 days. A little less than 6 weeks. And God threatened to destroy that city. Just 6 weeks left. As we were just hearing, none of us have any guarantee whatever as to how much time we have left. God says 40 days. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. God has said in his word this, my spirit shall not always strive with men. And many of us have come to the conclusion that we can come to God whenever we please. The 12th chapter of John's Gospel, the Lord Jesus uttered some solemn words, quoting from the book of Isaiah, where Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom the arm of the Lord revealed? And the Lord Jesus went on to say that they did not believe the message that Isaiah gave. And it says, and God hardened their hearts, and therefore they could not, not that they did not, they could not believe. Have you ever thought, my friend, there may come a time when God's Spirit will no longer strive with you? God doesn't guarantee you, if he's speaking to you tonight, that you'll ever have another chance. He says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Know how solemn it is. The Lord Jesus said, you remember as he wept over Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thee as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. He says, I would, and ye would not. But how solemn it is to think that the time can come when not only men do not come and will not come, but they cannot come. That's what the Lord Jesus said. They could not believe. Oh, how solemn a word that is. There is a time, I know not where, not when. There is a time, I know not when, a place, I know not where, that marks the destiny of men to glory or despair. I believe there comes a time in a man's experience when no longer is he able. No longer is he able to choose. It's true that whosoever will may come. There may have come a time in your experience and you no longer have the will to come. Whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. Arise, God said, and go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto them that which I bid thee. Jonah entered that city, and he began to preach the message, the simple message. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And this is what we read in the third chapter, in the fifth verse of Job. So the people of Nineveh believed God. Isn't that wonderful? The people of Nineveh believed God. Never in the history of the world has there ever been such success at the preaching of a message as Jonah enjoyed. All the people in that city, we read, they believed God. When Lot preached in Sodom, it says even his sons-in-law mocked at him. when Paul preached at Athens, it says, some mocked, some believed, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. They thought they would have another opportunity. For the Bible, though they never did have another opportunity to hear the Apostle Paul. Paul said as he preached at Thessalonica, he says, you received what we had to say, not as the words of them, but as it is in truth the word of God. It does not say the people believe Jonah. It says the people believe God. He was just an instrument in the hands of God. And tonight, I'm just an instrument in God's hand. And I am praying you tonight, in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. You know it says that the king arose from the throne. Think of that. The king of this huge city, this huge empire at the time. He arose from his throne, and it says he took off his royal robes, and he put on sackcloth. Sackcloth was black. Sackcloth and ashes. He went into mourning when he heard this tremendous message that God was going to destroy the city. He took off his royal robes, and he put on black sackcloth. He went into mourning. And then the king made a decree. He said, let man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything or drink anything. He said, I want a man or a beast in the kingdom to eat anything or to drink anything. And it says, let man and beast, this is what the king commanded, be covered with black, the sackcloth. The whole city, man and beast, from the king on the throne to the lowliest person, they all went into mourning. And he says, and let us cry mightily unto God. Said it may be. They just hung on to a little hope, it may be, that God will listen to us. Said, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that he does. Turn from your wickedness. It says, it may be that God will forgive us. He didn't have anything definite to cling to. Had no guarantee that God would hear them at all. But oh, how wonderful it is, my friend, tonight, to be able to say to you, that we have the guarantee of the Word of God. I don't care how wicked your life has been. The Word of God says, be it known unto you, men and brother, that through this man, the Lord Jesus, is preached unto you. It's not a work to be done. It's a message to be believed. Is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, that by him all that believe, not all that try, not all that are baptized, not all that join the church, not all that pray, not all that believe, read the Bible, all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. God gives you unqualified guarantee that if you trust this man, there is one mediator. There is one that stands in the gap between God and men, and that man is the man Christ Jesus. God has a message for you tonight, and he guarantees that if you'll trust his Savior, his Son, you'll be saved. It's just as simple as that. Who can tell, said the king, if God will repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? That's what the king said. In verse 10 of that chapter, it says, God saw their works. that they turn from their wicked way. God repented of the evil that he would have done, and he did it not. He spared that wicked city. No one in all the history of the world has ever had greater results from his preaching than Jonah. We read concerning our Lord Jesus Christ that he was here on earth, that many believed on him. We read that statement about 7 times over in John's Gospel alone. Many believed on him. Many believed on him. But everyone in this city, from the king on the throne to the lowliest person, they believed God. God's message of judgment. And they cried mightily to God. You know, Jonah knew what kind of God he was doing business with. He said, Lord, before I went, he says, I fled to Tarshish. I didn't go where you wanted to go. I didn't want those Assyrian spirits. He says, I knew what you are, Lord. You're a gracious God and a merciful God. I knew you'd spare them, and I didn't want any part of that. He says, so I went in the other direction. Ever heard of a preacher like that? He was mad at the results he got. He was angry that God had spared that city. Oh, God is rich in mercy. God is rich in mercy. For his great love will he love us, even when. Not when we were good. Even when we were dead. In trespasses and sins. Sometimes I've heard people say to their children, you know, God doesn't love you when you're bad. God doesn't love you because you're bad. But the wonderful message of the gospel is that God loves sinners. That's why Christ came. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He said, I came not all the righteous, but sinners to repentance. When the psalmist is describing the great mercy of God, he said, as the heavens are above the earth, look up into the sky and see those stars billions of miles away. As the heavens are above the earth, so great, so great. So great is his mercy toward them that fear him. There was a man who came to Florida years ago. He stopped and asked directions to a young man to the place that he wanted to go, and the young man gave him his directions, and he thanked him. And then he said to him, thank you very much for the directions you've given me. He said, now I'd like to ask you a question. He said, could you tell me the way to get to heaven? And this young fellow said, well, mister, he said, the way I've got it figured out. He says, if you live a good life, you treat your neighbor right, try to do the honest things, that it'll all come out okay in the end. William R. Newell, this Bible teacher, he leaned through the window of his car. He said, young man, I ask you the way to heaven. He said, you've told me the way to get to hell. That same William R. Newell wrote, years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me, he died on Calvary. By God's word at last, my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurned till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Now I've given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my king. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Oh, the love. Oh, the love, he wrote. that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Ah, my Bible tells me this, and I love this verse. It's in Micah 7 and verse 18. God delights in mercy. And there's nothing that will make the bells of heaven ring more than when a sinner comes repenting, trusting Christ. Our Savior said there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repents more than over 99 just persons that need no repentance. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, a man that even didn't want to preach the message he was preaching. They repented of his preaching. And he says, a greater than Jonah is here. Oh, praise God, over 1900 years ago, one came down from heaven's glory, not only to preach the gospel, but so that we might have a gospel to preach. Look in your Bible, in Matthew, you won't mention here, read a mention of God's love for sinners. You won't read of it in Mark's gospel. You won't read of it in Luke's gospel. The first mention of the gospel of God's love came from the lips of the Lord Jesus when he said to Nicodemus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Think of the Son of God making an announcement like that, when he knew that in order to have that message to preach, he had to lay down his life for us. For that's the gospel. Christ died for our sins. Someone once asked C.H. Spurgeon, the great preacher in England, Mr. Spurgeon, what is your theology? He said, I can state my theology in four words. Christ died for me. Oh, how wonderful it is that the Son of God loved you, and he loved me, and he gave himself for me. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment of this generation and shall condemn it. They repented at the preaching of Jonah. Tonight the Lord Jesus is here, and he's speaking to you through his word. And his word says this, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken to us by the Lord. And tonight he's speaking to you through his word. And he gives you a guarantee, not just a possibility or a probability, but an actuality. He says that if you come to him tonight, he'll not only receive you, but he'll never, never throw you out. He says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Jonah's message was a God-given message. Preach what I bid thee. It was a timely message, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. It was a message of judgment. 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. And yet it was a message of grace. And these men and women repented at the preaching of Jonah. And then the Lord says, the queen of the south, the queen of Sheba, she'll rise up in the judgment with this generation, and she'll condemn it. Because she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. And tonight the Lord Jesus is here in this message. A greater than Solomon is here. To refuse that messenger and that message, how dreadful it will be in that day. We read of the Queen of Sheba that when she heard of the wisdom of Solomon, she came. You have heard of the wisdom of Christ repeatedly from this platform, and you haven't come. A greater than Solomon is here. And someday, he will hold to account all those who have refused his voice. For he is speaking tonight to you through his word. I like that story in Mark chapter 5 concerning that woman with the issue of blood. She said, you know, if I could only touch the hem of his garment, I'll be whole. I'll be well again. That when she heard, she came. And when she heard, she delayed. But when she heard, she came. She only touched the hem of his garment as to his side she stole. She only touched the hem of his garment, and straightway she was whole. Oh, touch the hem of his garment, and thou too shalt be free. His saving power, this very hour, will give new life to thee. Three witnesses the Lord Jesus calls. And he called them to you tonight. And he's holding you responsible for these witnesses. Jonah. 3 days and three nights in the heart of that fisher's belly. And the Son of God was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And now he lived in the power of an endless life. And because he lives, he is able to save all that come unto God by him. There's the witness of a greater than Jonah. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment of this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. And God is going to hold you responsible for the message of his Son. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Let me ask you tonight, will you come to him just where you are and as you are? Believe the record that God has given of his Son, that he that hath the Son, that receives him, hath everlasting life, shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. Many of us here could say tonight with deep, great, and great thanksgiving to God that there was a time in our experience when we came and we've learned to sing, oh, what a Savior is Jesus the Lord. Well might his name by his saints be adored. He hath redeemed us from hell by his blood, saved us forever, and brought us to God. Thousands, yea, millions, have fled to his spear-pierced side. Welcome they all have been, none are denied. Weary and laden they all have been blessed, joyfully now in the Savior they rest. Now in the glory,
He waits to impart peace to your conscience and joy to your heart. Waits to be gracious, to pardon and heal all who their sins and their iniquities heal. If you're not saved tonight, it's not because you cannot be saved. It's because you have decided not to come. For God's word says that this Lord, over all, is rich unto all that call upon him, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do it tonight. Know that you're saved on your way to heaven. You can have the peace, the passive understanding, knowing that your sins are all forgiven. Shall we pray? Our Father, we're thankful for these three witnesses that the Lord Jesus brought to the people of his day and to us as well. The witness of Jonah, the witness of his resurrection power, the witness of his redeeming love in pardoning that wicked city and in holding out a pardon for all of us who will believe it. And thank thee for his revealing wisdom. We're thankful that the true wisdom is found at the feet of the Lord Jesus. For thy words is in him are in all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We seek thy blessing tonight on thy word. Use it, we pray thee, with the help of each one present. For we ask it in our Savior's precious, precious name. Amen. I'd like to sing in closing the hymn number 250. Once again, the gospel message from the Savior you have heard. Will you heed the invitation? Will you turn and seek the Lord? Many summers you have wasted, ripened harvest you have seen. Winter snows by spring have melted, yet you linger in your sin. We'll sing the third, fourth and fifth verses only of number 250. 250.